Yeah, so my name is Stuart Wilson. I'm a first-year PhD student at Davis in the Soils and Biogeochemistry program. So we looked at the effect of compost on these volcanic vineyard soils, so these degraded soils. So we're here in California, so I thought we'd talk about California viticulture. Grapes are a $4.5 billion crop in California, about equal to almonds in the value of the crop. The wine industry itself is a $100+ billion industry in California, so this is a significant crop. Now, when we talk about success with viticulture, it's a little different than other crops, like grain crops, where we're looking at yields and things like that. Quality is paramount to yield with commercial wine grapes. Some of the measures of quality that we have are vine balance, so it's a measure of crop load to shoot growth, and then indicators of quality in the berries themselves, so Brix, titratable acidity, measures of acidity like titratable acidity and pH, things like polyphenols, anthocyanins. And so these quality objectives need to be balanced with soil fertility. So soil fertility is often seen somewhat detrimental to commercial wine grapes. So premium winemakers tend to reject overly vigorous vines. And the industry as a whole tends to shy away from even moderate fertilization. So this is our study site. It's the Red Hills American Viticultural Area, which corresponds to the Clear Lake Volcanic Field, which is a late Pleistocene volcanic center where regional deformation associated with the San Andreas Fault System activates these shallow magma chambers. So you can see in what was pink before this got washed out here, you can see these strings of volcanics going up the north coast. That's going from Napa and Sonoma up to Lake County. These are some of the high-quality volcanic vineyard soils that we have in the north coast of California. The study site's about an hour and a half north of San Francisco. So what was our issue? We had these degraded soils and these underperforming vines. We have these highly erosive volcanic soils. As the name of the viticultural area implies, the Red Hills, these are rich in iron oxides and amorphous soil minerals. They fixed about 67% P. This is the New Zealand pea retention method, so it's a shot of 1,500 ppm phosphate shaken overnight. So when you're developing these vineyards, they use heavy earth-moving D9, D12 tractors on these steep slopes, and they often lose A horizon. So resulting from that, we have these very poor-performing blocks, yielding 1.5 tons per acre. A target for this region would be 4 to 6 tons per acre. In the grower standard practice, their current fertility treatments were not effective at reaching their yield objectives. So the vines, we have Cabernet Sauvignon wine grapes planted on 3309C rootstock with about 1,100 vines per acre. So how are we going to alleviate these problem soils? How are we going to get these target yields? So our strategy was to apply compost, composted steer manure at three rates, 0, 5, 10, and 15 tons per acre. And the idea is to jumpstart the soil processes, jumpstart the inherent nutrient cycling of the system. So we're providing a slug of nutrients, we're providing organic carbon, the basis of the soil food web, we're adding organic acid anions that will coat the anion sorption sites. We also have these secondary benefits, so increased infiltration, water retention, aggregation. And we added this compost in conjunction with grower standard practice. So they're still shooting fertilizer through the emitters, usually MAP and DAP. So what were our goals? Our goals were to come up with a vineyard nutrient management strategy for volcanic, weathered, and degraded soils. We wanted to determine a target application rate. So we had these equally spaced treatments, 0, 5, 10, and 15 tons per acre. And we wanted to see what we wanted to determine the sustained response of a single dose of compost over multiple years. In this case, 2 years. So some of the soil characterization, these are formed in andesite, stable landforms. They're fine, loamy, haloacidic, mesic, typic, haplozerolf. It's about 30 to 50% clay in the argillic horizon. The mineralogy is dominated by haloacite, which is a volcanic soil mineral. The total iron is about 12%. Roughly half to a third of that has been weathered to dithionite extractable iron or pedogenic iron. And they're very low in amorphous iron oxide. So these are well-weathered, crystalline iron oxide soils. So our methods, we applied the compost in January of 2012. It was incorporated in the vine row. The application rates, once again, are the 0, 5, 10, and 15 tons per acre. These equally spaced treatments allow for dose response analysis. The carbon and nitrogen ratio was around 12. So this is an RCBD, a randomized complete block design, 4 treatments, 4 replicates. So the vines, this is the plant tissue analysis. We did petiole samples in 2012 and 2013 at bloom and veraison, which is when the berries begin to take color, and post-harvest. We had per vine yield at harvest in 2012 and 2013. We had berry weights in 2012 and 2013. And what that is a subsample, 3 subsamples of 100 berries each to get an idea of what the berry weights were across treatments. We also had cluster weights and cluster counts in 2013. That's because the data got more interesting, so I did more work the second year. Anyways, pruning weights, we got those at the end of both years. So in winter, the vines go dormant. We prune them, weigh the canes, get a sense of the previous year's vegetative growth. That's standard practice. They come through in winter and prune the vines. So we got pruning weights for 2012 and 2013. Soils, took an auger bucket, 3 subsamples per replicate, homogenized. We did carbon by loss on ignition, Bray and Olson P, pH in 1:1 water, and cations by ammonium acetate, pH 7. Now the juice chemistry, these are some of the measures of quality that we use in viticulture and in vineyard soils. We have Brix, which is a ripeness indicator. It's a measure of the total soluble solids in the grape juice, which is mostly glucose and fructose. We have titratable acidity, which indicates the malic and tartaric acids. So that's a titration of the juice to pH 8.5 with sodium hydroxide. And then we have a straight pH of the juice. So these are our results. All these histograms I'm going to be showing you over the next few slides, they're all Tukey, HSDs, means with different letters are significant at 0.05. Error bars are standard error, the mean. So this is great because when you go out to your study site, you know, and you see results, it's always better. You know, so here we've got side by side, didn't show up as well, but treated and untreated vines. And that's actually in a buffer, so that's not even the vines that were sampled. But when you see results clearly deficient, clearly not deficient next to each other, that's always nice. So the first year, these are the petiole, the plant tissue samples. The first year, we had a significant increase in bloom petiole nitrogen for the 2 highest application rates, the 10 and 15 tons per acre. And similarly, we had an increase in the percent petiole phosphorus at bloom, with the highest application rate being significantly higher than the control. So getting into the 2013 data, here you can see that the nitrogen signal became a little more muddled the second year, but still, the highest application rate had significantly more petiole nitrogen than the control. Similarly, petiole phosphorus, the 2 highest application rates, the 10 and 15 tons per acre, had significantly more petiole phosphorus than the control. And then per vine yields, we had 50% yield increases in the first year. That's very remarkable for a perennial crop because a lot of the yield potential is determined the previous year. Bud primordia are differentiated the previous season. So to have a 50% yield increase in the first year after application is dramatic. And that yield increase was carried over into the second year, where we have the highest application rate had a 50% increased yield compared to the control. Berry weights, similarly, the 2 highest application rates had larger berries in both years. And our pruning weights were significant for the highest application rate in both years. Once again, you can see along the bottom, you can maybe make out the auger here. This is a 0, 5, 10, and 15 tons per acre. You can see the shoots increasing with the increased compost application rate. So that leads to a dose response. We can see a significant linear increase in pretty much everything we measured with increased application. So nitrogen, phosphorus, yields, pruning weights, berry weights, All were significantly increased by compost application. Speaking of dose response, this is a very clean dose response. This is the fall end of season organic matter content. You can see the stepwise increase in soil organic matter based on application rate. Same in 2013. I'm running low on time here, so I'm going to zip through some of this stuff. Olson P, at the end of the first season, you can see the two highest application rates were significantly higher than the control. In the second year, this became really dramatic. You see the two highest application rates had almost 3 and 4 times more Olson P than the control. I think this is due to the saturation of the anion sorption sites. So we're adding organic acid anions, sulfate, and phosphate. We get this threshold condition where once you saturate the anion sorption sites, you get this additional benefit. pH was significantly increased on both years. Cations, I threw them in the table because potassium, calcium, and magnesium were significantly increased by compost application both years. And we get into our indicators of quality now. So this is juice pH. So we increased yields, we increased berry weights, we increased pruning weights without compromising the acidity of the grapes, without compromising the titratable acidity, and without compromising the amount of sugar, of glucose and fructose in the grapes. Another important indicator of quality is its Revaz index. This is the balance of yield to pruning weight, so it's yield divided by pruning weight. It's an indicator of vine balance. So even though we increased fruit growth, we increased yields, we didn't compromise vine balance, which is important for the industry. So this is a back-of-the-envelope economic analysis. So if you're assuming $1,500 a ton for the wine grapes, the cost of the compost is about $50 a ton. We're seeing a benefit from one application for 2 years. That means for the 10 ton per acre application rate, we saw about an $840 increase per acre. And for the 15 ton per acre application rate, we saw more than $1,900 increase in net per acre. So that's good. So what's the take-home message? Compost applied at 10 tons or more per acre increases yields, cane growth, berry weight, and cluster weights without compromising vine balance or juice chemistry. The positive effect is sustained for at least 2 years from a single application. We saw increases in soil organic matter, pH, Olson P, all the cations, and that this is an economically viable management strategy in these weathered volcanic soils in the North Coast. Thanks. This isn't one of the vents erupting here, this is just fog, so, anyways. Any questions? Yeah, and that just, it depends. You know, some thoughts might be that if you have increased nitrogen, you have more shoot growth, you're going to be translocating more sugars to the berries. But there's also an effect of shading of the berries. So the berries themselves have to get a certain amount of sunlight to them directly to produce the colors and the sugars and stuff as well. So you really, it really has to be a balance. So you don't want to just put 200 kilograms of N per hectare, get these huge shoot growths. You really have to balance your crop load. Yes.
So I was wondering, the increase in yield because of the increased availability of nutrients. So the nutrients would kind of correspond to a higher quality of the wine.
Yeah, and that's not what I saw here. And typically it would be an inverse. The industry perception is that there's an inverse between yield and quality. So as yields go up, quality goes down. There's not a lot of scientific evidence for this, but this is what the industry believes in premium wine grape production. So the rates, I went based on some of the current application rates that are about, I think, 5 tons per acre. Some of it was dumb luck. You know, I just knew to equally space the treatments to do this dose response, and it worked. What was the second part of your question? Yeah, it was turned, it was incorporated along the vine row, and it's hard because when you're trying to do these management strategies with vines, they're in place. I mean, these things have been in place for 10 years already. They haven't been getting economic yields, so we were trying to come up with ways to do that. So we incorporated it, you know, maybe 15, 20 centimeters. I didn't measure that, but they were incorporated along the vine rows. Susan, did you have a question? Or? Okay. Thank you.